I started the morning off talking to kids about prayer. I want us to continue that idea and talk about prayer. I really didn't even think about it being the 4th of July, and this is where the Lord took me, so this is where we're at. I want to kind of start off with just hitting a few general things about prayer, and then we're going to go to Matthew, in the 26th chapter. You know, there's a lot, the Bible says a lot about prayer. Jesus taught about prayer, the importance of it. Knowing, I titled the message, "It's Time to Pray." And I thought about calling it "Knowing When It's Time to Pray." I'm afraid that we as believers probably need to do a lot more praying than what we do. When we look at the scriptures, it really encourages you to be praying all the time. And so I'm going to run down a few scriptures just to remind you. In Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 8, it talks about being persistent in prayer. The Lord gives a little illustration there. The idea of somebody coming and pleading with a governor to make a decision on their behalf. And I can remember, you know, God wants to know that we're really serious about it. I can remember going to Five and Dime in Van Buren, Arkansas with my mom. When I was a kid, and very back at the Five and Dime was all the little tables which had all the little toys on it. And I'd go back there, that's where I would go, right to the very back, and I would look around, and I'd find me something. And Mom would be doing her shopping, and I'd come up, "Mom, can I have this?" And she'd say, "No." "Yeah, put that back." I'd come back, "Mom, can I please have it, Mom?" She said, "No, go put that back." And then she might, you know, I knew that maybe if I kept asking, she would say yes. But she knew also, if I took it back, didn't say any more, I wasn't that interested in getting it. You know, when we're not persistent, the Lord knows that. And you say, well, why would He make us ask more? It demonstrates. If we're really, really passionate about what we're asking about, if we're really sincere, there's a place to be persistent until you get an answer from God. There's another passage in Matthew 7 through 12 that talks about asking, seeking, and knocking. It'll say ask, seek, and knock. And it's talking about when you go to God and ask for something in prayer. The other is where you're seeking an answer from God. And the other is when you're knocking. You want Him to open the door. You know, when you know what God's will is, but you're looking for a door to be open. Paul talked about a door being open for him in the middle of adversity. Can you imagine that? In the middle of problems, see, Paul, if you listen to Paul's life, he was always facing difficulties. You read Acts. But in the middle of difficulty, God had opened him a door of ministry, an opportunity to share the gospel in the middle of difficulty. Because he just kept knocking until God gave an answer, until God opened a door. James talks about in the 5th chapter, in 13 through 18, that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then he goes on to talk about Elijah and how that he prayed for it to stop raining, and it stopped. He prayed for it to rain, and it rained. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, 5 through 11, talks about us casting our cares upon the Lord. You know He cares for you? I mean, we say we know that. You know, when He used the word care, I didn't think of the big things. I thought of the little things. That's how that hit me. God cares even about the little things. How many of you ever made a mountain out of a molehill? That's a little thing that you turned into a big thing. Well, sometimes we need to be able to bring to God our molehills. And when I heard that passage, that's what I thought of. I thought bringing to God even the molehills, the things that sometimes we blow up and they become so big. I remember we were doing a little construction job on the front of the church, and we were up on the porch and we were putting up vinyl siding. And we had this last piece to put in. And it was taking us, it took us 45 minutes. The piece was about this long. We were sitting up there and we cut it. And it wouldn't fit. And we kept, it was getting about lunchtime. I stopped. I thought of this passage. I said, let's stop and pray about it. Clayton is a friend of mine. Clayton Coss. I said, let's pray about it. We pray. Turned around, stuck it in there, and got down and went to eat lunch. God cares about the little things in life. You know, you may be having a problem with your kid. You can't figure out what to do. How? Maybe it's a discipline issue. It's a correction issue. It's something you're trying, a behavioral issue, and you're trying to deal with. You don't know what to do. He's interested in that. He tells us to train up our children. So I'm just simply saying, hey, pray about it. 1 Thessalonians, in the 5th chapter, in verses 17 through 18, Paul speaking, and he says, pray without ceasing. I said, how in the world do you pray without ceasing? And I think the idea is that we ought to have a spirit of prayer where we're ready to pray all the time. As I said with the kids, our Lord is with us all the time. Prayer is talking to Him. And we ought to be ready all the time. Then it follows that up. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That is, just be ready to thank Him. Let me ask you something. When's the last time that you thanked God? Now, maybe for a meal? No? When's the last time you thanked God for your family? When's the last time you really, honestly thank God for your country? When's the last time you thank God for your job? When's the last time as a student you thank God for your school? When's the last time you thank God that you have a teacher? You understand there's so many things that we may just go through this life and never give thanks. And Paul just got through saying, thank God in all circumstances. This is a common one, but I think becoming less common. And that's thanking God when you sit down at the table to eat. I know a lot of people go to a restaurant anymore, they don't do that. And they say, well, everybody's looking. Jesus did it with 5,000 people there. Broke bread, fed the 5,000. He thought, matter of fact, every gospel, three of the gospels mention that story. And I've just checked, see if it mentioned it in every one of them. In Mark 6th chapter, 14th chapter, and John the 6th chapter, it mentions it. Every time that Jesus gave thanks and broke the bread. In the Lord's Supper, you see it again. Jesus, here's 12 disciples around Him, and He breaks the bread, and He gives special thanks for it, and special thanks for the wine. And I'm just saying, you know, we're getting this kind of... Well, we forget to give thanks. It's part of praying, talking to our Father, who is right there next to us. Who's putting all these things in our hands. Maybe down to something more serious in our times. How many of you fret over our nation? How many of you it's been on your mind? How many of you don't like to listen to the news because there's so much bad stuff going on? Come on. Our nation's in a mess. You may be rooting for one particular party political party or another, you make me think there's not one you can root for anymore. But that's not really the answer. The answer would be found over in 2 Chronicles, the 12th chapter, 14th verse. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. Prayer. You know, you don't even have to have a big group, everybody getting together. You can just start it at your home. That's a good place to start. In your alone time with God, that could become one of those things where, you know, it says, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It wouldn't be the first time that God spared a nation because one person prayed. But what if you started a revival just through your prayer? God started touching hearts. Others started praying. Our nation needs prayer. It needs God. Ephesians. Interesting passage, and we're kind of now, we're drifting closer to the text this morning. We'll get there in a minute. Sixth chapter. In the sixth chapter, you remember, the Lord tells us to put on the armor of God. That is, Paul's telling us to put on the armor of God. And he gets down and he says, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Let me just simply say, he's calling you to be spiritually alert. By the way, that alert and keep watch expression is often accompanied when he tells you to pray. It means to be spiritually alert to what's going on. It seems like it's always accompanied with prayer. Well, I said we get down to 26th chapter, and we are. And we're going to look in the 36th verse. And this passage is talking, the Lord's sat down, he's had the meal, and he's discussing what's going to happen to him. And they're going to end up in the garden, and they're going to come and get him. And it does have something to do about prayer, and that's what I really want to focus on. See, Jesus says in the 31st verse, wait just a minute here. Yeah, 31st is really where I want to start. Then Jesus told him this, this very night you'll fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I'll go ahead of you in Galilee. Then Peter replied, Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I won't, Jesus. I won't fall away. Jesus says, truly I tell you. Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Then Peter, and look, the Lord's telling him the way it is. Peter's telling, oh no. And Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I'll never disown you. And all the other disciples, you know, chimed in with the same. Then you get to 36th verse. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. Now, you can already see the problem with Peter and even with the disciples, and it was pride. And pride cometh before the fall. And many of people don't think they need to be and spend times on their knees with God. Don't recognize it's time to pray. And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, make this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." By the way, that's the kind of thing God asks of you. Think about it now. Here's Jesus. God is asking the perfect Jesus, the Jesus who has no sin and has never sinned, to bear your sins and my sins. That's what he's praying about. You know that? He's coming to this place where he knows that the cross is ahead of him. And on that cross, he's going to have to bear your sins and my sins. And everybody else's. I mean, not just us here. The world. You know, the sins of the rapist and the murderer and the thief and the liar and the adulterer. The cheater. All those things, the parent hater, the child abuser, all of that is coming on him. He that does not sin and cannot stand sin will bear the sins of the world. At that moment, he says, "Lord, if there's a way for this cup to pass from me." And then he says, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." Luke, the 9th chapter, Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He that saves his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall save it." Even he's asking you, by the way, to say to the Heavenly Father as you pray with him, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Well, when he got through praying, it says in the 40th verse, he returned to his disciples and found them asleep. And he says, "Couldn't you men watch with me 1 hour? He asked Peter. It's interesting. He asked Peter, kind of focused at Peter. Why? Why? Because he knew Peter was going to stumble. He knew Peter was going to deny him. Now, you say, yes, but it was prophesied. It's prophesied only because he already knew. God knows things beforehand. But Peter still could have prayed. He still could have, right then said, "Oh God, have mercy on me." That verse is written, that prophecy, is because God already knew what he was going to do. In his pride, he's going to act like he doesn't need to pray. Jesus told him, "Watch and pray." Now, I told you a while ago, that word, "watch," is often associated with prayer. Being spiritually alert. Watch in prayer. Now listen to what he says to Peter. "Watch in prayer so that you'll not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." It's one thing about temptation. You know, it's not hard to resist when you're not being tempted. You caught that? Now, Peter, it's not hard to resist. It was easy for Peter to give all that big talk until he faced temptation. Okay. Then when he faced temptation, he was not ready because he had not been on his knees with the Lord. And listen, our adversary, Satan, is not someone to fool with. You are not big enough on your own to deal with him. You need the Lord. And your time along with you, with the Lord, excuse me, your time along with the Lord helps you prepare for that testing. You and I will always face trials every day. There'll be temptation. It can be at work, and somebody's asking you to do something that you think is dishonest. And you're going to have to say no. And it might be a friend. It might even be your boss. Temptation. When Jesus was tempted, by the way, in the wilderness, and you'll find that he comes three times. He's come three times. The Lord prays his prayer here. And every time Satan is tempting him to say something different. See, sometimes we think, a lot of people think that's the only time Jesus got tempted was in the wilderness temptation. No, he was just giving us a great example there. He was tempted just like we are all the time. But I'll tell you something I've kind of found out, that when it comes to resisting Satan, most of the time, he comes at me three times. And I've seen this in Scripture, and I realized it one day. Most of the time, he comes at you three times. He'll come at you again. He'll come at you again. And if you keep resisting, he goes away, just like he did with Jesus. He left. One of the Gospels says he left for a more opportune time. Is that Satan is cunning. He knows when you're more vulnerable. How many of you are more edgy and grumpy when you're tired? I mean, is it a little harder when you're sick to be the person you ought to be? Okay. Or when you're stressed, or when you got a lot of people asking you questions, you know, there are just times it's harder. And he knows that. And so he comes at the inopportune time. And that's the reason you need to be in prayer and meeting with the Lord. Because you need the strength that comes from him. And you know, in the Lord's Prayer, remember it says, give us this day our daily bread. That's your substance. But it's not only physical substance, it's spiritual substance. You need strength for the day. So here he comes, and he went away the second time. Let me finish here. He said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away in the second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. And then he came back again. And he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. And then he returned to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us go. Here comes the betrayer. Now, in the 26th chapter, we look in the 55th verse. It says, in that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, and they see the crowd has come. They come to get him. There's a little bit of discussion goes on. And Jesus says, Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple court teaching and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. And then all his disciples deserted him and fled. Okay. He reminded them, you know, they should have been praying. There's a time to pray. That time when you can get along with the Lord. That time that you make with Him. It can be in your closet. It may be in your car going to work. It's a time when you can be alone with Him. There's a time to pray. And you need to seize that opportunity. You need to create those opportunities. You say, well, I'm busy, busy, busy. I know what you mean. It's hard sometimes. Busy, busy, busy. Always something to do. But God's giving you control of your time and your life and your priorities. 69th verse, same chapter now. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard. The servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway. There was another servant girl, saw him, and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you're one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses and swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately the rooster crowed. And then Peter remembered the words of Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crowed, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Wow. There is a time to pray. There's a time for us to pray right now, even for our nation. And there's a time for you to pray that every day you'll face a battle. Do not think that your time alone with the Lord isn't extremely important. Look around and you may see some brother or sister of Christ that stumbled. You may know some that have fallen out of church even today. There's a time that they probably needed to pray. Something happened. Not ready. Satan came. Satan tempted. But they did not find their strength in the Lord because they had not spent time with the Lord. It was a test. You know, it really tested the disciples. It really showed them what they were. And you know, when you pray, you're going to have trials. Okay? You're going to have difficulties. And the trials is not the temptation. Okay? The trials kind of like a test. The temptation is for you not to do the right thing during the test. Peter could have said, he is my Savior, he is my Lord. He had three opportunities to say, yes, sir, I was with Jesus, and he is Lord. He is my Lord, and he is my Savior. He had three times that he could have said, he's my God. He's the Son of God. I'm with him. But he was not ready. You'll have opportunity. I'm going to close with this little verse here, and because in the end it talks about prayer, and but you know, in Romans, just in case somebody here does not know the Lord yet and has not asked him into their heart and life, Romans says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And if you believe that, then the 13th verse says, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That is, if you believe those things and are willing to call upon the Lord, ask him in prayer to save you, he will save you. You know, the guy that was praying, Jesus, remember, he was the one getting ready to go through the cross. He was going to have all your sins. He did have all your sins placed upon him. And he did pay your debt. And he is offering to anyone who will believe and receive. He's offering to save them and give them eternal life. Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We as everyone turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquities of us all. And so Jesus bared your sins and my sins on the cross and offers you eternal life. Now, let's all stand. We're going to dismiss with a word of prayer. And if you're here this morning, and while we're closing with prayer, and you don't know Christ as your Savior, call on Him. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to give you eternal life. Ask Him to be the Lord of your life. And He'll do it. And you'll be His child. He will truly be your Heavenly Father. He'll send His Holy Spirit to be with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You will die, like all of us will die, unless Jesus returns and snatches you away into the air, as the Scripture talks, when on His return. Otherwise, you'll die. But when you die, physically, you will go to be with Him for eternity. And you'll never leave Him. Paul once said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So I urge you to make that decision if you hadn't made it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to You, for You're worthy of all praise and honor and glory. I thank You, dear Lord, that we can lift You up. I lift up to You our concerns, and probably one of the greatest concerns we have on our mind right now is our nation. Lord, we pray for revival in our nation. We pray for revival in Your church. We pray for a great spiritual awakening, where many will be ushered into Your kingdom. Lord, we don't know what's going to happen to our nation, but we pray for revival, a spiritual awakening, many souls coming into Your kingdom, Your church revived and on fire for You. We pray this, and Lord, ask it. We ask You to forgive us of our sin. Lord, when we've allowed ourselves to become lukewarm, when we've not been kind and gracious to our neighbor, when we've not shown Your love, when we've let anger fill our heart against those who are politically on the other side, we know, Lord, we're supposed to love our neighbors and even love those that would be our enemies and even wish us harm. We pray, dear Lord, that You just bring real revival to the church. And we pray, Lord, that would be followed by a great harvest in our nation. Thank You, dear Lord, for being able to be here this morning with our brothers and sisters in Christ to spend time in Your Word and sing Your praise. All good things come from You. We'll forever praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.